You're listening to Sunnyside Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Sunnyside Up. I'm Babs Cooper, your host for this special Women in Tech series. And today I am thrilled to speak with Jenny, Moira, and Leah on a very, very, very interesting topic, super discussed. It's finding balance in the work and life. So how's everybody doing? Is everybody having a good day?
Yes, thanks so much for having us. Excited to be here.
Awesome. So we'll just circle around the room and share a little bit about everybody's journey. And yeah, Leah, why don't we start with you?
Sure. Yeah, so my name is Leah Brown. I am an employee communications and DE&I specialist at Demand Base. Prior to coming here, this is my first tech job. Before coming to Demand Base, I actually worked in the healthcare field, in higher education, and in the nonprofit space. So definitely making the jump to tech was a big one, but it's definitely been an incredible experience. And I'm happy to talk with you today and to talk with Jenny and Moira.
Awesome. Moira, do you want to go next?
Sure. So a little about me. My name is Moira Vandenacker. I lead our lifecycle revenue marketing on our segment marketing team here at Demand Base. My roots are Canadian, so I grew up in Canada. I worked for a number of years, a few different places in Vancouver in my hometown. I've always been like very passionate about my work. I love to follow my heart, I'll say, both in my workplace and in my life. And so my journey took me to Denver, Colorado, where I live now, following my heart with my now husband. And I did my MBA here, worked for a number of years at a tech company called Trimble, and then have been with Demand Base about 3 years in marketing, loving what I'm doing.
Awesome. Jenny?
Yeah, I love hearing these background stories, and I didn't know this about you guys. So selfishly, this is also just fun. I took a little bit of a non-traditional path. So I actually started my career when I was 19 years old. And then went to college when I was 25. There's a bit of that non-traditional style. And then I started in tech, in 2012. So primarily agency work, some B2C, some B2B, and kind of, you know, done a myriad of positions along the way. I guess I should start with my role here at Demand Base too. I am a senior CSM on our mid-market team on the East. And I've been at Demand Base for about 3 or 3.5 years now. So yeah.
Cool. I'm so happy to have all of you. How has your perception of work and life balance evolved throughout your career?
I could go. I've always liked the term work-life integration because I'm going to just throw this out there. I am not great at work-life balance. Early in my career, again, like just being so passionate about what I do, I've been so like self-motivated to learn and do things. And so I've probably been like an overachiever in a lot of ways, which, yeah, I guess I wouldn't say I really have that. I've never had that balance, but I've found that I thrive in organizations that allow that flexibility in how I manage my work and my life. And so today, whether that's, you know, taking work calls, driving to pick up my kids, or, you know, working remotely, especially, I think all of us can agree there's a lot of flexibility to that that helps. I think in a lot of ways it helps us with making the time we need for our family and the things we care about, but it can also be difficult to keep those boundaries with that same approach. So I personally had to really learn to have more boundaries when I became a mom. So I have 2 young children. I have a 10-month-old and a 3.5-year-old. And it was the first time being a mom that I had to learn like, wow, I can't be selfish completely, you know, and if I, you know, I have to actually have work boundaries. I do have to learn to like end my day and make sure I have time for my kids. It's still something I think I struggle with because I get so engaged in what I'm doing that really putting those boundaries up can be difficult, but it's so rewarding. And I think I've realized as a person, I have grown and brought so much more to my work through being a mom and being a parent and learning a lot more empathy and patience and just seeing life in a different lens.
Wow, that's cool. I'm sure like being a mom changes everything from what you've learned and you have to relearn and unlearn. And I'm so happy for you. So So like, what are some of the challenges that you faced in maintaining like a work-life balance, and how do you think that we can navigate through them? Jenny, do you want to take this one?
If you don't mind, I'd love to actually add a little bit to Moira's, because I love that story.
Sure.
I love that story and, you know, that life story that she has. And I resonate with some of that a lot. And then I'd love to add an additional perspective outside of motherhood. So for a number of reasons, right? I think there has been historically a lack of focus, or it's sort of a public importance put around women who are child free, right? So whether it's child free by choice, child free, or more appropriately, the term childless. I particularly am passionate about representing those women, because I think setting boundaries can be quite challenging, because you don't have, you know, societal excuse. And I use air quotes excuse, because, you know, I'm not shunning motherhood whatsoever. That is its own challenge in itself. I would also align myself with that really ambitious person, right? That, like, kind of in different words, what Moira was saying was really career focused, really passionate about work. I really aligned on that and embodied that for, I would say, most of my career up until quite recently. So this is the work-life balance or integration. I love that word that Moira used. It's really a new adventure for me. I found a lot of self-worth and self-value in how hard I pushed myself in my career. And that meant 10, 12-hour days consistently, right? And sometimes it was at the sort of encouragement of the business, but I would say a lot of times it was myself motivation. And, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's proving myself or onto the next promotion, or really just that, like I said, that self-worth internally, right? And then it became clear to me, and again, this was recently, only within the past couple of years, that that might not be super healthy. And that, you know, regardless of the outside sort of obvious balances that I would need to make to obvious to other folks, right? Setting boundaries has been a key part of that. And a challenge there, because I don't really have a reason per se that I can communicate to say, hey, I need to put these boundaries up. And so that can be, I think, quite challenging in its own way, is feeling like you have to explain yourself, when in reality, nobody needs to explain themselves, right? For boundaries. As long as you're doing your job and you're working within, you know, your hours, there's no expectation and shouldn't be to work 12 hours. So, you know, it's important for all folks to feel represented, and that there's always a reason to have work-life balance. Always, 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 regardless of your personal situation. So, yeah. Sorry I didn't answer your specific question, but I really wanted to move on to
I think that's so important, Jenny. I mean, the other thing is there's burnout, right? Like, it's not healthy. That forced need, I think, whether it's a child, your health, you know, all of it. Plus, I feel like it's very hard to set those boundaries. But when you step out, like, I always think, like, step out of the fire, you realize, like, wow, that wasn't that big of a deal. Like, actually taking the step back, taking time to refresh and recharge, I am so much better approaching this now. I think remembering those things really helps with the boundaries, although it is a lot of self-discipline too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I heard, like, all of you speak about boundaries a lot. So Leah, have you ever faced a challenge, you know, when you're setting a boundary, and so how do you think that you have, like, dealt with it? Because I know that it becomes difficult to set those boundaries. But yeah, have you ever faced a situation like that?
Yeah. And I want to go back to something that the whole point of what you just touched on, Jenny, which is I don't have any children, I'm single. And I think that there, at least for me, has been a little bit of pressure to, yes, be the ambitious, career-driven woman. It's like, well, you don't have any other distractions. What else are you doing with your life? Like, just go full throttle into your career. And touching on a point that you said, Moira, that was kind of the road that I drove down. I worked long hours. I'm still what I would say is pretty early in my career, but when I entered the workforce, my whole thought process was, I'm going to do great. I want to show them I'm committed and that I'm great at my job. And that translated into working longer hours, thinking about work when I'm not at work, stressing about work when I'm not at work. And that inevitably led to some burnout, some feeling very little passion for my job. And I think in terms of navigating that and establishing the boundaries, a big portion of that was, and I think for many of us, was the pandemic as a turning point, which made me really rethink my relationship with work and to working. And it made me realize how much I value things outside of work, right? So I don't have children. I'm not a caregiver. I'm not partnered. But I have family. I have friends. I have hobbies. I have a whole host of things that I want to do that are not working. And I had to come around and really realize how valid that is and how meaningful those things outside of work are. You know, as you said, Jenny, you know, regardless, if you want to, I'm really of the opinion, if you spend your time outside of work just laying on the couch, I'm like, that's great.
You should do that also. Yeah, that's valid also. Yeah.
Really, whatever you choose to do with your time, that is valid and that is your time. So in terms of kind of setting those boundaries, protecting my time is huge. So I think because we work remote, it's so easy to get trapped in like back-to-back-to-back Zoom meetings, which I don't know about anybody else, but it's so draining. And I try to make time during the day. We need time to do things. We need time to do actual work. We need time to eat lunch. We need time to take a walk. We need time to get coffee. We need time to take a break. And so I schedule that in my calendar and I follow it as if it's an actual meeting. I'm like, no, I have lunch now. You know, I have to step away for a minute. I have to do this. And I kind of jealously guard that as much as I can. And I think making that time throughout the day for just you is so important. And the other part of it is setting hard stops. I think, again, in a virtual world where my phone can ping with Slack messages or I can check my email from anywhere all the time, it's so easy to get trapped in that cycle. And so I have to say, all right, I'm stopping. And that means I'm stopping. That means I'm coming back to it tomorrow or on Monday or what have you. And that's really, you know, I know being kind of on call or being more available is important, but I try as much as I can to draw that sharp line. Like, I'm not picking up the phone. I'm not checking my emails. I'm on vacation. Just pretend that I disappeared for a week. And the thing is, it will always be there when you get back. That's the great thing about work.
It's always, wow. So I heard like a common word that all the three of you said was burnout. So how do you think like the demand-based culture supports or hinders like your work-life balance and, you know, prevents or does not prevent you from burning out?
You know, I'll speak for myself and the team that I'm on. I think demand-based in particular does a great job at not brushing it under the rug, right? It is something that is talked about, which in itself is really helpful. And so it's not a dirty secret. It's always a little scary to talk to your manager about burnout or your coworkers, but it's not really shunned as a topic to address here, which I particularly am grateful for at demand-based. So that culture there. We also are given a number of sort of mental health days with no question. So, you know, you don't, again, going back to like the disclosure or giving a reason why, there's no pressure for that here that I've felt. And we have a number of mental health resources here, you know, that again, are frequently brought up, discussed. And I just think that reiteration from the company and down to the managers, right? So it's top down and it's being repeated and it seems comfortable. So just specifically about burnout, you know, I think the communication around it has been really key here. And then I think that, and again, on my team, right? And we're customer facing. So I would love to put calendar blocks and stick to them. I think every role and team is a bit different. But in terms of, you know, also specifically burnout, I think talking to your manager, if and when you have a good relationship, a comfortable relationship like that, is great to get ahead of it if you can. And even if you're in it, still talk to your manager And again, I'll give kudos to Demandbase. There's no perfect company, but Demandbase here, you know, on our manager level, they're really open to discussing that. And I've had a number of pieces of guidance and recommendations given to me from my manager and other managers on the team about how to protect and respect myself. And so it's just been, again, no company is perfect and Demandbase isn't either, but I think we're doing a lot of things right here.
Yeah, I'd second that. I feel like there culturally, we do really value people's personal lives and being able to have that, you know, healthy time away. I will share, you know, I was so grateful going through maternity leave recently here with Demandbase. They give, you know, 5 months maternity leave. My transition back was very supportive with my manager, our VP of segment marketing, Sandra Freeman. She is always, you know, pushing to take care of yourself first. That's always the message. Take what you need. We have a lot of deliverables, right? We're a fast-paced, fast-moving company. And I think within that, we're really always looking at how can we help drive efficiency? Because we need to be sustainable with our time. There is a lot that we need to get done. Your health is always first. And so like, let's talk through what's going on and see if there's ways we can like improve the efficiency of what you're doing so that you can have that time and that balance. You know, I love it because I look outside the marketing team as well. Just recently, we got a new RVP of enterprise sales, Chris Farrell, and she introduced herself last week on a call, and she too, like her values are like family first, like number one, nothing is more important, you know? And so it's culturally, I think, something that is shared, and it makes me very proud to be here.
So Leah, have you ever had to like navigate through like difficult conversations with colleagues where you've already set the boundary and they did not quite get it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I've had an actual conversation. I've definitely been in work environments where overwork was kind of implicitly rewarded, right? So it's very much the culture of like, you know, people eat lunch at their desks, they answer emails at crazy times of the day, they work really long hours. And it really instilled kind of a little bit of a fear of like, okay, well, they need to know that I'm working really hard, so I'm going to stay longer, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to answer this email even though it's 10 p.m. at night, you know, so, and I think it goes back to what I said before, which was integrating personal life and work life was for me mostly about realizing that however I spent, the time that I spent outside of work is valid and important. And also that doing more is not necessarily doing it right. You know, I was working long hours, I was getting burnt out. I became, I really think, not as good of an employee because I didn't have the bandwidth or the energy to put in a lot of good work, right? So I was working tons of long hours, but wasn't doing, my work wasn't great, right? So it's really kind of behooves everyone to create an environment where, yes, we work hard and, you know, we do what we need to do, but there does need to be room for work-life balance and for recognizing that employees have a life outside of work that they want to attend to and that's important to them.
Yeah, I get that. So has anyone ever actually felt that difference when they started drawing those sharp boundaries? I was not drawing those before and now I am. So how has that like affected your success or you as a person or as an employee? I would love to know stories.
I have a very specific example. So on my team, we work very closely with folks on other teams. So it's very much, you know, project oriented, centered around the customer. And there was a particular time where someone had booked a calendar invite over something else that I already had on my calendar. And in respecting myself and my boundaries and putting that out there, you know, I wanted to make sure that was communicated and respected. And so I did feel that it was appropriate and that I needed to communicate that to this person. And so I did reach out, you know, first ask, hey, you know, did you notice? I can't actually make the meeting, but I really would like to. Can we look at another time? And the response that I received was, oh, it didn't look like that meeting was important. And that's why they had booked over it. So I will say this is, you know, thankfully not a very common interaction, but it explicitly happened. And I think it's a good example, maybe an extreme one. But, you know, I did feel again that it was appropriate for me to have a conversation with this individual. And I really talked about respecting each other, respecting boundaries, and, you know, hey, let's have an open dialogue here. If you see something that you feel like you need to book over, can you ask me first, right? And I will do the same with you. And so it's very, you know, it's a respect that's reciprocated. And it did take that individual a couple of times to come around to it. But when I showed them that I repeatedly respect their calendar and boundaries and the end of the workday, because we had different times that were our end of days, end of work days. You know, I think it can take some time to enforce, you know, your balance. But I think it's really important. And if you do it in a compassionate and respectful way that's reciprocated, I do think that it's successful. But it's not always comfortable. But I will say it, you know, it's frequently met with success.
Jenny, sorry, Bob, if you don't mind. Jenny, that reminds me of a story. I recently got matched up with a mentor at Demand Base. Great. Shout out to LND Teens Mentorship Program. My mentor was sharing with me, there's a program they leaders do called Multipliers Program. I don't know if anyone here has done it, but they cover something called accidental diminishers. And my mentor was telling me that his accidental diminisher was that he's a rapid responder. And so interesting to learn this, because that expectation you set as a leader, and like how you're like, if you're messaging after hours, you're respecting people's time, or you know, you're giving people time to digest, it's really important. And so, like, you know, Jenny, you made me think of that, because you were saying like treating other people that way, or they're learning that. Mm-hmm. Like, we do learn these behaviors, right? And so that's something that I've been thinking more about myself, and like, what's the expectation I'm setting because of the way I am respecting my time and my boundaries. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it's like leading by example, you know, even when you're not a leader per se, right?
Yeah, yeah. Leah, do you have any stories?
Well, I was just going to say, I totally relate to what both of you were saying, because I think as much as you can tell someone else that, you know, work-life balance is important, I respect your time, the actions need to be backed up with words. And it's not just respecting others, but it's also, as you just said, Moira, leading by example, and showing that it is important and I'm living these values as well. So I just wanted to echo both of that and say, both of you would say, I completely agree.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, how do you envision the future of work-life balance? And, you know, are there any changes that you would like corporates to make to just make it like easier for employees to balance it all out?
I heard the UK implemented a 4-day work week. So that was like a terrible one.
We need to shift soon.
That is like, and I think that was something I heard. I was not here during 2020 yet, but I think Demand Base had like 4-day work weeks for a while during COVID. We do have no meeting Fridays. That I think helps, but I don't know about you guys. It's not necessarily held preciously. I think when I, you know, I was thinking of this question, you said the questions in advance. The other thing that comes up a lot is like work-life well-being and talking more about your well-being. And so I actually think Demand Base has really leaned into that with offering part of our benefits are, you know, coaching and other mental, like social support too. Ultimately, though, my vote goes to leaning into the 4-day.
Oh, well. Leah, Jenny, do you guys have any suggestions?
I mean, I think that flexibility in general is just going to continue to be part of the conversation going forward. And by flexibility, I don't just mean work from home or return to office and that whole debate. I mean, are we giving employees the ability to, you know, one of the things that I enjoy about remote work is that I feel like I'm structuring work around my life and not my life around work per se. And I think as we go forward, I think a lot of folks, especially during the pandemic, got a taste of what it's like, you know, to be able to have work-life balance. And I think folks are wanting to continue that. So I'm interested to see how companies are going to, you know, not just in the vein of return to the office 5 days a week or not, but how do we instill flexibility within employees or within our work culture? You know, can employees, are we giving employees the ability to leave in the middle of the day if they need something, if they need to go to an appointment, if they need to pick up their children or anything else? Are we mandating that they're going to be in the office from the strict hours of 8 to 5, or can they come in and leave in the middle of the day and go home and get some work done? I think there's so many nuances around that conversation than just kind of the binary return to office or work from home that haven't been explored yet. And I think it's going to keep coming up.
Yeah, true. Jenny?
Yeah, I definitely love some of these words that are coming out here is, you know, the binary, the flexibility. I think all of those are really key terms to consider when when we have this conversation about, you know, how to continue to support the balance. I think it's really, you know, we love to make answers easy and, you know, black and white or one way or the other. And I really think this is just not a one size fits all situation. I really, really align with the word flexibility, right? So we would love, especially in the U.S., we would love one answer for everything. It's just kind of our nature here. And I just don't think that's going to be the case. And I also think of the word, you know, evolve or evolution in this world that we have now, or this working world. So, you know, I envision a positive future of each business sort of making its own choice in terms of how they want workers to work. And I think that the folks that apply and work there and start to work there will really, you know, that will indicate what is successful for that particular company, right? And I think the pandemic, at least in my little world, my little bubble, really highlighted two different things. One is that work-life balance, you know, folks can go, you know, to a doctor's appointment in the middle of the day. I think it also highlighted that that danger zone of working nonstop, because it's right there in your house, you know? And especially when the pandemic was fresh and there was a lot of quarantine, you couldn't get away from it. You couldn't really even go for a walk, right? So I think it really highlighted the extremes of both of those situations. And so, you know, in general, what I would like to see you know, for the future of our, you know, professional life is just that flexibility per company. And I think that they'll attract the type of employees that want whatever that structure is that company is giving. But, you know, to all the points that we've had here today, I think just continuing to communicate about it and having it be a conversation is probably, you know, critical point number one for any of this.
Yeah. I think, flexibility is huge, for sure. Okay. So is there any woman at like demand base that you would like to give a shout out to, like, you know, somebody you think that embodies the work-life balance?
Oh, I got to give a shout out to Sandra Freeman. She is like the cheerleader of all cheerleaders that I think, I don't know about herself doing work-life balance, but she is so supportive of building a culture of a team that values your own personal time and doing great work and being respectful and kind and all that good stuff. So shout out to Sandra.
Leah, Jenny, do you have anyone you would like to give a shout out?
I'd like to give a shout out to my manager, Jenny Strauss. She is wonderful in all sorts of ways, but I think one of my favorite things about her as a manager is that she not only understands I have a life outside of work, but actively values it. I can't tell you how many kind of non sequitur conversations we have about just our personal lives and what's going on and what we did on the weekend. And I really feel that, you know, I went on a couple of trips last year, and we came back and our one-on-one was just me showing her photos. Right. Yeah. So it's so amazing to have a manager who really cares about you on a personal level. And then that translates into, you know, I want you to have the time to engage in the things that are meaningful to you outside of work. So, you know, Jenny's awesome in amazing, so many amazing ways, but that's just one of the things that is best about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I our new CMO, Kelly, you know, when she came on, she was very clear about her business goals and equally as clear about protecting her time and encouraging everyone else to do that. You know, she was very transparent about, you know, her family and how her family comes first and how that she feels that that makes her, you know, a better and more focused employee. And I think that translates to anyone's situation, right? Having children, not having children, right? We're all humans. And so I think that top-down leadership is really wonderful because we all know that trickles down, top-down. But I also want to give a shout-out to my direct manager. I think oftentimes we like to look at that top of the umbrella, which is really important. But my direct manager, I have to say, you know, she's a young manager, and she is already just embodying all of this work-life balance, this compassion, this empathy, this, you know, I know you work hard. How can we, you know, Moira, you said efficiency, right? How can we look at ways to do that for you so that you have this balance and this continuous open conversation and communication about how are you doing, what's going on? And she's really fabulous. I hope she sees this because this will probably make her cry. but yeah, I think, you know, leadership and direct managers are equally as important.
Yeah.
Oh, and her name's Sydney. So yes, Sid.
Awesome. Wow. It's super important that you have support from your manager, and as you rightly pointed, it all tickles from top to bottom. So yeah. Do any one of you have suggestions for like a resource for other women in tech or working women in general, you know, on how to strike that balance?
I'm terrible. I really never have book or podcast recommendations. Those just are not my sort of go-to areas. But I think holistically for me, what's helped is meditation. And I know it's not directly related to sort of guidance and instructions on how to set your boundaries and work-life balance, but it has helped balance my brain, which, you know, and takes personal time. And for me, meditation and really dedicating myself to it has really just helped sort of center myself and my priorities. And to that point, which I forget who it was that kind of mentioned the always on and the, what was it? Sort of that sense of urgency, which I've always had. It calms that a little bit too. So it's a little easier to then focus on, okay, is this, you know, we're not saving lives here, right? So just having that consistent meditation and starting with the balance internally helps me encourage that balance outside of myself.
Yeah, that makes sense. Leah, Moira, what about you guys?
I don't have a book or a podcast, so I'm going to break the question a little bit and say that I think learning about work-life balance and just in general learning about being a woman in tech, my most valuable knowledge has come from conversations with other women in tech, right? I think Jenny mentioned Kelly, our new CMO, and she spoke at one of our Women at DB ERG meetings. And I think those 30 minutes, there were so many nuggets that just came from it. And so connecting with other women in tech, I think, is really the best way to learn and to, you know, get more perspectives on what it's like being a woman in tech.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that you, I love Jenny Strauss. I love Kelly, our CMO. She is like an inspiration. I am a podcast girly, but I listen to all sorts of things. Like, I think for me, like one of the ways I find balance or when I'm feeling like I need to take a break, I put on my headphones and I go for a walk listening to a podcast. And that is like my, my go-to tip, you know, anytime it feels like the last thing you want to do is step away from your work when you're feeling stressed, but, or, you know, whatever you have going on. But it always helps. It's always worth it. I have a bunch of podcasts I listen to more so for just like performance in general. Like I just love health performance. My partner is, I think, what you call a Huberman husband. So Huberman's podcast, if you guys have heard of it, it's all about like biohacking and the science to performance across like a ton of like mental, physical, emotional, conversational skills. He's a great guest. So big fan on that. And just, you know, taking the time to just be healthy, you know, like better myself in all ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And how can people get in touch with you all after this podcast?
LinkedIn.
Awesome.
Easiest way.
Cool.
That's it. LinkedIn.
Nice. Well, it was an absolute pleasure having all of you on the podcast today. And I hope to see you all soon on another podcast series. But yeah, I mean, thank you so much for, you know, joining me and having this chat. I really appreciate it.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.